have ever done. Right now, we're going to take the Lord's Supper together. And I think that communion is such an important time for us. It's really a time where we can have that love that's planted in us by Christ just overflow with thankfulness. And it's a time we remember the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. We specifically look to what is ours in Christ as a result of his sacrifice. And I want to read this morning from Colossians chapter 2. I thought Nick Leffler did such a great job a couple weeks ago when we were together teaching and preaching from this great book that really does exalt Christ. And many things compete with the exaltation of Christ. You know, man wants to offer all kinds of things to compete with our love for Christ, our self-sufficiency in Christ. Christ is all we need. And yet the world will say, no, there's other things. And present it, and Nick talked about this, that all the great philosophers coming into this city trying to present something that they needed in addition to the Christ, something that's much more sophisticated than Christ. The cross is so simple. Simple is good sometimes. And so Paul writes this to those who are baptized into Christ in Colossae, beginning in verse 6 of chapter 2. He says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, do you remember that day? Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, which was with a lot of gratitude, he says, continue to live your lives in him, rooted in him, built up in him, and strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and then overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of the world rather than on Christ. And then he goes on to explain why you shouldn't seek higher knowledge, higher wisdom. He says, in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to that same fullness. He's the head over every power and authority. And in him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self that's been ruled by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. Or maybe your translation says when you experienced the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sins. He canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He's taken it away and he nailed it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and the authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. I want to ask you to try to focus on four things I want to just point out from this passage. It talks about all the fullness in verse 9 of God that lived in Christ in a bodily form. But he says, in Christ, you've been brought into this same fullness. In other words, everything that was in Christ that was of God is now in you. It reminds me of that passage that says we have everything we need for life and godliness. God put it all in us. The potential we have as human beings to escape the corruption of the world is unlimited because we have God living in us. That came about through the cross. And then down in verse 11, it says, your whole self, which was ruled by the flesh, has been put off. I love that view. When you think of circumcision, I don't want to get crude, but it's basically a cutting off of the flesh and a discarding of it. And he said, the same thing happened to you in Christ. Your whole body, the whole body that was ruled by the flesh and your fleshly desires has been cut off and it's been discarded in Christ. It's lost its strength. And then down in 13, he says, when we were dead, God made us alive in Christ. And then he goes on in the next verse and says, he forgave us our sins and he canceled our charge, the charge of our legal indebtedness. You know, I like the older translation, the NIV, better, but it talks about blotting out this signature that we placed on this document that said We are hopelessly in debt and cannot pay it off. And when you think about that, it really should move you. So, you know, as Christians, we had to get to that point where we realized we had a debt we could not pay. And basically, we had to sign a document that said, "We cannot do it, Lord. We realize our sins deserve death. We are indebted to you, and we can't pay it off." And basically what happens is God says, when you finally sign that document and realize you have no power to change your eternal destiny, God says, "I got it covered. I'm going to just blot out your name. It's going to be gone. That note of indebtedness is gone. You owe nothing. Your debt's been paid by Christ when he died on the cross." Let's pray. Father, it's awesome to consider just the opportunity we have to fall in love with Jesus. The fact that we can make that decision, it's only because he came into this world and made a significant impression on our hearts. The way that he gave himself, the way he demonstrated your love and your patience and your mercy and your grace toward us. And Father, as we look to the cross in our mind's eye, I pray that we will see a loving Savior who has taken away our sins, who has taken away our indebtedness to you, who has taken away our flesh and has brought us into the fullness of God. God, we love you. We're grateful that we have an opportunity to live new lives. I pray as we take the bread and the wine that represent for us the body and blood of Christ, that we too will be filled with a gratitude that overflows in expressions of thanks. I pray in Christ's name, amen.